Yesterday, we talked to the poet laureate of Rochester. He's been preserving the voices of people who worked at the city's giant factory buildings. Today, we talk with a resident of Manchester who's preserving the history of the buildings themselves. Dan Bryan has been tracking how the Queen City's structures are changing on the blog Manchester Oblique, and he joins us now. Dan, welcome to All Things Considered.
Thanks for having me.
How did you end up as the unofficial urban spelunker of Manchester, New Hampshire?
I was actually just kind of reading a blog one day about London's underground, which is kind of just a Swiss cheese of old infrastructures, because the city's been building over itself for like 10 centuries now. The United States is kind of new in the grand scheme of things. I was kind of thinking about, I'm like, well, if it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen in New England. Actually, Manchester's kind of a prime example of that already happening, because the spaces there are being rebuilt and reused all the time.
Could you give us an example of an old space that's been put to use in a unique way?
The most prime and obvious examples, the mill buildings have been reused into office spaces, into apartments. But one of the better examples I had recently was there is a house right in my neighborhood that was the house of an old shoe cobbler back in the 1850s. And the house is this gorgeous Gothic revival house. Families in transition obtained the property and they made a shelter out of it. And I thought that was a really interesting and great transition.
And some of the locations that you describe aren't there at all. Tell us a little bit about the community college campus that wasn't.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my better finds. I was just kind of messing around on Google Maps one day, and I kind of saw random parking lots in the middle of the woods there. You know, I grabbed a camera, went out there, and sure enough, there's just this old college campus that was partially built. There's roads, there's sewer systems, there's fire hydrants, parking lots and street lamps. There's no buildings. UNH had obtained the property back in the 60s, built all this stuff in the 80s, and then kind of abandoned the idea when the classes in the mill yard took shape or were more fitting. We're left with this pseudo ghost town in the middle of Manchester. Actually, a realty company just obtained it now, and they're going to turn it into a business park.
A lot of your posts have been about the old school buildings in Manchester, some of which were built decades and decades ago, and they were built for a time when the most important thing to have in a school was a coal stove. The primary thing that you need now is wireless internet. How can cities like Manchester modernize while still trying to preserve some of that history?
One, you need kind of a smart government. You need to be hiring, I guess, probably smart people if you want to remake these buildings. What you see a lot of times is people preserving the outer shell of buildings, which I think is perfect, but modernizing the inside. Like at Central High School, obviously, while not as modern as it could be, the classical building obviously has been stripped out a few times now. They've run wireless internet through it. That's what I love about Manchester, is they have not like ripped out any of those mill buildings, because that is so Manchester. And it's a total reminder that the whole town was built by the Amiskig Company. I think Manchester's actually doing a really great job of that, honestly.
Well, Dan, thanks so much for talking with us today.
No problem.
Dan Bryan is author of the blog Manchester Oblique. You can find a link to his blog at our website, nhpr.org.